You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're back with Pamela Michaels, Esquire. She's the Senior Vice President of Asset Preservation, Inc. in New York. I want to thank our good friends at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine, DJ Van Curen, for bringing you on the show. And I want to apologize for all the technical issues we've been having at this remote event. So we're back. Pamela, we were just talking, about what the advantage was that your team at Asset Preservation, Inc. brings to the table. Could you kind of bring me back there and then talk a little bit about important that Stuart Title is part of the team?
Sure. So what I was saying is that we have a staff of accountants and attorneys that specialize in nothing but 1031 exchanges. We have a specialized commercial division that handles complex exchange transactions where sophistication, speed, and institutional flexibility are essential to get the job done. We have free consultations. Anyone can call me for a free consultation at any time, and we'll do our very best to assist and ensure that the client understands what the requirements of the 1031 exchange are. And then also, if you're up at 3 in the morning and want to initiate an exchange, you can always go to our website and you can apply online to have an exchange initiated. And that'll be picked up first thing in the next day, business day, by one of our exchange counselors, and you will be contacted. So
you can do these all around the world. We've talked about you can do an international exchange if you're a U.S. resident, and I guess that having the 24-hour access is important with the international clientele.
And with everybody. The New Yorkers are up all night. I get more calls after 7 p.m. than I get 8 to 5.
I'm right there with you. That's what Do Not Disturb is for. It goes on at 10, comes off at 8, and other than that, you got to text me at that
That's
point.
Right. DJ
at the Family Office magazine sent you over, and I know that you had an article in DJ's magazine. Why is it important for family offices to understand about the 1031 process?
Well, family offices usually have a significant real estate portfolio. And many times with the family offices, who are the investors? It's members of the family. And generations go by, and the family members change because, obviously, inheritance, marriage, children, and so forth. So structuring and how you properly structure a 1031 exchange is critical to family offices. With 1031, the devil is definitely in the details. If your ownership structure is not set up properly to achieve your goals when you initiate an exchange, you're in trouble. So with family offices, we start very early. We may start years before they're even thinking about selling the property to ensure that we structure the ownership correctly to achieve their goals. And each family office has different goals. And we can use special tools that are in the tax code to possibly restructure ownership to allow, for instance, let's give a real life scenario. Let's say there's 10 family members, and they all are investors in a piece of a building in Miami or a building in New York. And now they would think about selling it, but guess what? Some of them don't want to participate, and others do. So there's various tax tools that we can explain to them that allow them to possibly have some of the investors, some of the family members, perform a 1031, others cash out and pay their taxes. But these are not something you're going to pull off. These are not solutions you're going to pull off the internet. They are carefully tailored by tax counsel to client and us as the qualified intermediary to ensure the client's goals are met and, most importantly, to withstand audit if there is an audit at the end of the day. There's some very significant and clever tax tools that can be used, but the most important thing is you've got to start early with your tax planning. We lose Jim again?
What are some of the big mistakes that people make when they do their 1031? You said the devil's in the details. We went through the one instance, but what's another thing that people mess up on?
They don't identify in time. You have the timelines are written in stone. You have only 45 calendar days from the date of closing, not of contract, of closing, to identify potential replacement properties. In this market, those replacement properties might all be gone by day 60 when you're ready to close. Somebody else might have bought them. So strategizing is critical, identifying plenty of replacement property, even being under contract during the 45 days or closing, better yet, which on the large commercial deals is usually not feasible. But the not identifying enough property, not timely identifying. I have clients with $20 million exchanges that fail to initiate the exchange before they closed. You must initiate the exchange. You must contact asset preservation and ask for an exchange to be initiated. We prepare documents. They must be signed. There's closing instructions. When you close and the funds go to your attorney or your bank or yourself, you can't call me if you closed on Friday and call on Monday and want to set up the exchange. It's too late. You've got constructive receipt of the proceeds and a taxable event has occurred. So that is now, one of the most critical.
Yeah, I want to talk about that from the aspect of a real estate broker and the buy and sell part of all this. So, you know, you get a call as a real estate broker, the person goes, I need a 1031 exchange. I almost don't even pay attention because all they're doing is fishing. And, you know, it's odds are they're not going to buy your property. They're just looking to identify a bunch of properties. Do a lot of people not close on these deals?
No. In fact, if they're calling you and they are, you know, in their exchange period, which means during the first 45 days, they right. have a limit as to what they can identify. Now, they can identify three properties, and they can identify more than three. But even if they identify more than three, the total value, fair market value of what's on that list as of the date of identification cannot exceed 2 times what they sold for. So they cannot just include the entire MLS. So I don't think they're fishing. I think they're serious inquiries.
Well, you see, that's a real misnomer in the brokerage community. It's something that really needs to be focused on then. So I'm glad we brought that up today. Now, what is
the brokers that I work with call me before the client's even under contract because they want the client to get the ducks in a row on the sale. And then when they're ready to purchase, the brokers are calling to make sure the client's purchasing in the proper name, person or entity name, that they have the proper funds, that we are structuring the purchase with the right amount of equity and debt, so that the client can 100% defer their federal, state, and local taxes.
Now, does it have to be the same property? I mean, like an apartment guy sell an apartment project and buy a bunch of 1031, you know, triple net deals? Leases? How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. You can, as long as it's real estate, and as long as it's held for investment or use in a trade or business, it doesn't matter what kind of real estate, industrial to vacant land, you can go from a rental residential project to a industrial site. You can go from multifamily to a bunch of single family rentals or a commercial office building or a fractional ownership interest in a commercial office building, such as the sponsors in the DST market offer today, or to a net.
That's what I was going to ask next is Delaware Statutory Trust is a DST. How does that come into play here?
Well, we have a revenue procedure that specifies that DSTs, Delaware Statutory Trusts, qualify as replacement property in a 1031 exchange. So what are these creatures? What you're basically buying is a fractional ownership interest in a building or a portfolio of buildings that are owned initially by what's known as a sponsor, and that sponsor continues to manage the property throughout the ownership, but the sponsor offers fractional ownership interests to investors, most of whom are 1031 investors, because the wonderful thing about DSTs is they can be customized. So if you're coming out of a 1031 with $2 million and you need, and half of your $2 million is mortgage debt and half is equity, and you need to match that debt and equity, the ability of the sponsor to customize your product to match those needs is extremely high and it's critical to the exchange. So if you come out with no debt and you don't want any debt, you could get into something that has little or no debt. If you came out with no debt and you want some debt, they'll find you a product that will give you the amount of leverage that you want to take on. So DSTs can be customized. They're wonderful investments if you want to be 100% passive. They are not good investments if you want to have liquidity, because once you're in, you do not control that investment. The sponsor will decide 5, 7, or 10 years down the road when to sell it. At that time, you will have the opportunity, again, to 1031. As I said, swap to your drop or to cash out and pay your taxes.
Now, most of the people I know that have looked into the DST marketplace and not been interested have been people that have been traditional real estate owners and operators before. I've seen and heard that the persons that it's most advantageous for are people that really aren't in the business of owning and operating real estate. And so I inquire, well, where do those people live? And they say, Minnesota. Why would they say Minnesota?
No. I have a ton of clients that are selling assets that have appreciated like crazy. They're going to get killed with capital gain taxes. They're dentists. They're contractors. They don't know anything about real estate. They don't want to know anything about real estate. They just happen to be sitting on a gold mine, and they made a lot of money, and they don't want to pay taxes, and they want to go into a passive investment. In addition, there are out there operators that are long-term real estate operators that now want to step back and not operate anymore. They're tired, as my DST sponsors say all the time, they're tired of getting calls in the middle of the night to come fix the toilet. So you know, it is a passive investment that's perfect for many investors at a certain time in their life, and it's really a good alternative particularly for clients that have 400 or 500, something under $1 million, where it might be very difficult in our, you know, crazy market to find something suitable. Certainly in New York City, if you're looking to spend $400,000, good luck.
Mm-hmm. The reason I picked Minnesota is because they're all farmers up there, and a lot of farmers I would think would fall into this as the farm passes from one generation to the next or gets gobbled up by a conglomerate. That's why I was mentioning Minnesota.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what else DST is terrific for. It's terrific. Let's say you're supposed to spend $3 million in an exchange and you've placed $2.6 million. You got $400 left over. You can put it into a DST as long as you properly identified it within the 45 calendar days.
Well, listen, we're pretty much close to out of time, Pamela. So I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure. I got you now. Yes, I sure can. Okay. Thank you again, Jim, for everything. So listen, we have an 800 number.
My number
is 866-317-1031. You can also find me at Pamela at apiexchange.com. And you can welcome to go to our website. It's a wealth of information, apiexchange.com. And Jim, thank you, and thank DJ again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, thank you again to DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine bringing us Pamela. And we'll be right back after this break. We're going to be talking about doing due diligence for your family office investments in real estate. Back after this. Wanda, take it away. ¶¶